Oh, Gladys.
Hello, Pete.
Did you have a good day for Valentine's Day?
Yes, I did. My grandsons, two grandsons, and my son and daughter-in-law came home.
Good.
For a visit over the weekend.
That's always a pleasure, I know.
It is.
This interview is with Gladys Westrom, a resident of Clay County since 1907. This interview was held at the Morehead State University recording studio on February 15th, 1985. The interviewer is Bea Risted, representing the Heritage Commission. Where did you live, Gladys?
I lived in Morehead. I was born and raised in Morehead, went through grade school, high school, and college, and that was the first that I went away from Morehead. So I lived here about the first 20 years of my life.
How old are you then?
Now I am going to be 68 next month. I mean, 78, I'm sorry.
Well, time goes fast sometimes,
it does.
Doesn't it? Did you work when you were first married or at any time during your marriage?
No, I can't really say I worked out because I had a family and need to stay home and take care of them. I did do some things at home, like I did, took in children and did babysitting. And I remember I also used to do some demonstrating at stores over the weekend. But as for holding down a job, I had my job right at home.
And what was your husband's work?
My husband worked in a store, was a clerk in a store.
And you came from a family of what size? How many brothers and sisters did you have?
Well, we were eight in the family. There were four girls and four boys. But we had a sister that died in infancy and a sister that died when she was in seventh grade. But the six of us all grew to womanhood and manhood and were married and had children.
What was your mother's life like?
Well, I wouldn't say she had a hard life. She didn't have an easy life, but there weren't any really hard things, so she was depressed or that. She was a very lovely person, well-liked by everybody, very much interested in helping other people as much as she could. Of course, she had all she could do at home. My father was a clerk in a grocery store, and of course the income wasn't very big, but we always had plenty to eat. And one good thing was my mother was a dressmaker, so she had attended NDSU and had taken up dressmaking. So when she was a girl, she used to go out and sew for people, so she was a real good dressmaker, so we never lacked good clothing.
She would go to the other people's home?
That's what they used to do, and stay for a week and sew, mm-hmm. And then that was before she was married.
Did she have any yearnings or things that she would like to have done that she didn't do?
Well, I don't know if she did. I know she would wanted us all to get an education. She wanted to see that we all could go on to school, even though we didn't have any money, so we all could go on to school here in town. We all attended MS College and got an education.
And she did, man, that
yes,
came about.
That came
so
about.
That was a
mm-hmm.
goal
that came about.
What do you think would surprise her if she were to come back here today?
Lots of things would surprise her. One of them, I think, would be what lovely homes we all had. And all are married and have good husbands and have lovely families and all of the things we have that make life so much easier than what she had it.
Could you describe a typical day in your home as you remember it as a child? What would be a typical day?
We lived in a small house, I remember that. And we'd have our breakfast, of course, and then go on to school and come home. And after school, I can't remember that we had much to do, I suppose, because there wasn't much work to do in the house. My mother would... I remember one thing, many times we'd have to come home, and what we hated to do was do the dishes because she had a sewing project she had to get done, or else she was going to Ladies' Aid or something, and there would be the dishes on the table. I can't even say on the sink because we never had a sink in a dishpan on the table. I remember that's one thing we didn't like. But we'd always play after school, and We were always home, all of us, for meals. Dinner, we had dinner at noon and supper. And after supper, I can see us sitting around the table doing our homework. And my dad would always read. He took the Saturday Evening Post, and it was almost his Bible. He'd read it from cover to cover. And one of us would stand there and comb his hair. He had beautiful black curly hair, and we'd comb that. And if he had a penny, he'd give it to us for doing it. And I think that's about all. We'd go up to bed. And
your mother was always home, though, when you came home for school.
Always home, except if she was at Lady's Aid, you know, or that. Never missed that, no.
Did she have something for you to eat when you got
usually
home?
Usually there
homemade
always
rolls
was.
Or something.
Or bread, we could smell it baking. Or she was a very good cook. We always had good food.
Well, now we're going to have you as a homemaker now yourself.
Okay.
Could you share a day of your life was like when you were a homemaker yourself?
Well, I had 5 children too, and they were all small at the same time. I think when my youngest was born, the oldest one was only 7 years old. So I didn't have a lot of time to go outside the home and do anything.
Well, before your children were born, what was the day like?
Well, then, after I quit teaching, you mean after I was married?
Mm-hmm.
I had it very easy. We lived in a small house, and I could get my work done in a half an hour, I'm sure. We only had 3 rooms. And I really can't remember what I did all day because there wasn't volunteer work then. It was in a small town.
Did you read?
Oh, I loved to read, so I suppose I read. Mm-hmm. Maybe I went and visited the neighbors, and because I really can't. I belong to a couple, you know, like you do in a small town. You belong to the Ladies' Aid and the Garden Club and the Book Club. And
then when you had all 5 children, what was the day like then?
Well, that was a hectic day. To get them all up in the morning, or the baby would start it and get the baby ready and the others. I remember that I always had, one was a year and a half when I'd have the other one, so still like to be quite close to me. I remember always when I nursed the babies and that I'd had 2 or 3 sitting on the Davenport listening to me read. We read a lot to the children. I really had a good life, though. The children were all good. I never had a colicky baby and took care of them. In a small town, you get along real well with help. And
well, now the children are all gone. What's your day like now?
Well, when they were all gone, I was wondering how it was going to be, but I didn't have to wonder very long because people soon find out if you're not working or not being tied down, and they can find plenty of things to do. It was to work with the campfire, even though I didn't have anyone in it, is to keep on working. And then the school needed volunteers for ears and eyes inspection, so we kept at that. I can't remember a day when I wasn't going someplace.
Mm-hmm.
And they all left within 2-3 years of each other. So
You didn't have that empty nest feeling then.
Never had it. Never had a chance to get bored with not having anything to do.
Well, then, what holidays were especially important to your family of origin and then also your own family? Did you carry on those same specialty?
I believe we did. Christmas at our house, even though it was small, we always had relatives in at Christmas time. I think that was, our biggest holiday. And even after we got married, we had a bigger house after we had the children, so we always had the relatives at our house. So that is one tradition we've had. And I remember it was a tradition that it was hard for the children to not keep up because they always wanted to come home for Christmas. And after their children got bigger, some of them, when they got into high school and that, they'd like to stay home. So I had a hard time convincing some of them that it was better they stayed home and didn't all come home for Christmas, but start their own. And I see that they all have the same traditions as what we had when we were growing up.
Were there any other holidays that were kind of important?
Well, of course, Easter was too. And I remember Easter especially because my mother being a dressmaker, that's one thing we had was all had new outfits on Easter Sunday. I remember that. I remember once someone in church told me that we were the best dressed children in the church. I didn't believe it. I maybe did then, but later I found out he was just...
Well, that was a compliment
to
your mother.
It was a compliment to my mother. She could make anything.
Lynn, who kept the money records in your family?
When I was growing up, you mean?
Well, both.
When I was growing up, there weren't any records to be kept because my dad worked at a grocery store, and I'm sure we never had a grocery bill. I mean, we had one, but I'm sure it was taken right out of his salary. And then our clothing was all being made except things you have to buy. And I suppose there was some for insurance or that, but I never heard anything about money when I was growing up.
So that wasn't talked about?
Not talked about at all. No, mm-hmm. Not talked about. It was wonderful when we'd get a nickel to spend or even pennies then. We were glad to run to the little corner store and buy a penny candy.
All right, now in your own family, who
Well, that's the same. My husband took care of all the money in our mm-hmm. family. The same thing, he worked at a store, and I never saw his check, so I think it was the groceries and everything. And in a small town, everything we bought at that store, our meat, we had a milk delivery, but aside from that, our clothing and everything. So I never saw any money there either, except I got what I needed. But it was always to just ask for it. There never was any allowance given to me, like, later on.
All right, now, if you were going to buy a big overstuffed chair or some furniture or some big item in your family, how did you make those decisions?
Well, I'll tell you, when we first were married, we went to the wholesale house that where my husband's employer, and we bought everything we needed there, even down to dishes and everything. And as long as we lived in that town, in that little town, we never bought another piece of furniture. But after we moved here and had a larger house, then we'd have to, I think we had to charge and pay so much a month on it. I'm sure we did.
And did you talk it over, or did one of you make the decision?
No, we'd always made the decision together. I can't remember.
What was that small town you lived in when you were first married?
It was up near Bemidji, Clearbrook, Minnesota.
Clearbrook. Mm-hmm. How long did you live there?
Well, I went there to teach in 1930, and I got married in 1932, and we left there in 1944. So I was there 12 years.
And then you moved directly
to Moorhead,
and you've been here
ever
since.
So I've been here ever since. So except for those years I was teaching and married, I've never been away from Moorhead.
All right, now, did you give your children an allowance when they were growing up?
I don't believe we did. No, I'm sure we didn't.
Why didn't you, do you know?
Well, I guess because we didn't have it.
You just never had it yourself?
Just never had it myself, and I don't think we thought of giving them an allowance. I know we didn't ever give them allowance.
All right, then what did they do, come and ask you for things they needed?
Well, all of them, as soon as they were old enough, started babysitting. The girls did, and the boys would have other jobs, so really I can't remember. Of course we had to buy essentials and clothes and like that for them, but when I look back at it now, I sometimes wonder how they had money to go to the show, which they didn't go very often when they were kids. But
well, did they ask you for it then, probably, huh?
Yeah, probably, but I don't know if I had it to give to them, because we really didn't have much.
Mm-hmm. During this time when the children were still at home, how much time did you have for volunteer work? Did you do much of that?
Not while they were small, but as soon as they got up into school age and that, then I did a lot of volunteer work. I'd help with the campfire and Boy Scout, both of them. And there was a lot of church activities that I, you know, we'd have. I'd take
part in church. Were you active in the Ladies' Aid then?
Active in the Ladies' Aid, and we at that time also had a missionary society, so there was always 2 days a week. And then there were church suppers and bazaars and things like that, and always took part
were
in that.
Were bazaars popular then? You don't see much of those anymore now.
No, but they were then. They raised money mm-hmm. through a bazaar. Uh-huh.
Did they have quilting beads?
Yes, they had quilting.
Did you help with that?
Well, I never could even hold a needle. My mother was a dressmaker, and I never learned how to sew. I couldn't do one thing with a needle. To this day, I still don't. But I could do the other things. I could help piece and press and things like that. And I'm still doing it.
Did you belong to any clubs at that time, like PTA?
Oh, PTA, yes. I belonged to PTA. And
any other club you belonged to?
Well, let's see.
Housewives belonged to?
Can't remember. It seems though I was going someplace all the time. We had foster children, and we had to go to a sort of like a club there once a month.
How many years did you have foster children?
We had 4 of them. After our children got older and into high school, they wanted us to still have little babies to take care of, and we weren't about to start another family, so we started having foster children would take little babies as they left the hospital.
How long did you have?
You can only have them a year. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't think we had any of them over 9 months, except one boy that we had till he was about 4 or 5 years old. That little boy couldn't speak at all. He couldn't utter a word, and they didn't know what was wrong with him because they couldn't find anything, any reason why he shouldn't, but they thought he, and he was just getting, so he was real friendly with us, and it was hard
to
see him go.
How long a time, a span of years was, did you have these children from outside the home?
I think it was maybe about 6-8 years altogether. Mm. Not any longer than that. Our children were in high school at the time, I remember that.
Did they enjoy them?
Enjoy it. They were the ones who wanted it, really. Oh. So they took just as good care of them. I remember one Sunday when, well, I used to teach Sunday school and hadn't gotten the one little girl ready before I was ready to go, and my son, who was a junior in high school, come into church carrying the baby, had dressed him and everything, carried him right up in front where we were sitting and brought her along to church.
Then what kind of activities or hobbies did you do? And are you still doing some of them? Or?
Well, let's see. When we were living in Clearbrook, we were active with the teachers because I had taught there and some of them roomed at our house. So in the winter, we always did a lot of tobogganing and skiing in that. The teachers bought a toboggan themselves, or we all did, and so every Sunday was occupied with that. And then we used to play bridge at night sometimes, and there was a garden club I belonged to up there. But after I got moved to Moorhead, there was really no club that I belonged to, not like a book club or anything like that.
Did you do handwork, like cross stitch or anything
I didn't.
Like that? You didn't?
Didn't like that.
What did you teach? In
I was a third and fourth grade teacher, elementary.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever work outside the home then?
Not except that, as I say, when the children were growing up, then I sometimes went on Friday and Saturday to demonstrating in the, you've seen that in the stores and the markets like they have it. And I did that for about 2 years. And then I remember for 2-3 years, maybe even 4, I did telephoning. Not Nielsen ratings, but what's the other one that, I've forgotten the name of it now, and used to call. Are you listening to this program, you know? And did that for years. In fact, I had the job of being the kind of supervisor for the area here.
There'd be surveys.
Surveys, that's it, surveys. Mm-hmm. Because I could stay home and do that and do it while the children were in school.
Did you ever have any help, like maids? Or what kind of help did you have? Did your children help with the chores around the house?
Mm-hmm. My children were very good to help. The only time I'd ever have any help was maybe during house cleaning or... That's all I can think of is somebody'd come and help me with a little of the cleaning.
How'd you get that help then? Is that some woman who...
Oh, I'd know some woman and she would come. Uh-huh, hire her.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what they earned an hour at that time?
Not very much. I'm sure I never paid over $1 a day. For anyone
for
to come.
For a whole day's
for
work.
For a whole day's work.
It's quite different today.
I guess it is.
What did you do for fun and entertainment then? You did mention the tobogganing. Did your family go to shows or did you go to concerts or those kinds of things?
We never went to many shows together. I can't remember unless there was a good show for kids that we'd take them to, but not too many shows. We'd go to concerts. We'd go to a lot of concerts. And we played a lot of games at home. We'd like to play games around the table. And
you didn't have TV?
No TV until they were in high school, and I'm thankful for that.
Now, did some of their friends have TVs before they did?
There was a neighbor down the block that had a TV. And after school, there was some program on. I can't remember what it was now, but they were there every night until. And this lady was so kind, she invited them in. She'd have all the kids in the block there sitting on her living room floor watching that program. It was some kids' program.
Well, then, did they come and bring pressure on you to get one?
Well, I'll tell you, they knew that we didn't have many money to get it, but my son, who had a paper route, he bought our first TV, and we had it for at least 10, 15 years. It was a real good one. And the reason he bought it was because his cousin was playing in the World Series. He was a Giant catcher. And so he bought a TV, and that's when we got it. I can't remember the year, but he was about a senior in high school.
Were Sundays any different than any other day at your house?
Well, they were different in that I wouldn't let them. I was brought up not to do any work. You prepared the meals, and that was all. But we never threw in a load of clothes to wash, or, of course, we didn't have the washer either. But, I mean, nothing at all. In fact, in my mother was so strict, she wouldn't even let us use a scissors to cut paper dolls or anything on Sunday. But in our family, it wasn't that. But I'd never allow them to go to show on Sunday until they got bigger, you know, older, I thought. And
what about your dinners? Did you?
We had Sunday dinner.
And linen cloth and all that?
Always had a white tablecloth and had it in the dining room. And always had a big meal on Sunday. And I never knew how many we were going to be, because in my home, my mother always brought somebody home from church for Sunday dinner. And I don't know, my kids just followed that example. And so every once in a while, we'd have somebody extra, one or two extra for dinner. They knew they didn't have to ask. They just
now, was your big dinner at noon then?
Yes, at noon, right as soon as we got home from church. I'd get the potatoes peeled and everything before I went to church, and the roasting or whatever it was. And we'd come home. And it seems to me that for a few years at least, the Sunday school met after church services. So I had about an hour there before they came home from church.
Oh, so the children stayed later.
They stayed later.
That gave you that time.
Time, uh-huh.
That's different than today.
Yes.
How do the meal patterns of the early 30s differ from the meal patterns of today?
Well, there's not much, hardly any comparison because of the food that we have now. The way it was prepared, I mean, we started from scratch with everything. And now everything comes packaged if we want to use it that. And so it was a lot of difference in preparing a meal.
Did everybody sit down at meals at the same time?
Everybody sat down
at the same
time.
You got up for breakfast?
Yeah,
Did you get up and make the meals for breakfast?
I shouldn't. I was hoping you wouldn't ask me that question. Because that's one thing I didn't do. My husband always got up and went down to the store, and then he'd have breakfast someplace. So I never got up until I heard the children stirring. And even after they got bigger, I stayed in bed until they were gone. Then I didn't have to hear all that fuss in the morning when they were after they got bigger and were more vocal in telling each other off and that.
Well, are there a lot of foods?
But I should say, too, we were lucky even after the children were in high school, even in high school and going to college, we could have our dinner still at noon because my husband could come home and have his dinner, and we lived in a neighborhood where they could walk to high school, to junior high, and to grade school. So we never had to change our eating habits, and to this day, we still have our big meal at noon. And I was glad because when the boys got into athletics and that, and the girls in their activities, there never was everybody home at the same time at supper. So I was glad that we could have our dinners at noon.
So they'd have their good full meal.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, are there foods available today that you wouldn't even have thought of back then in the
30s? Oh, yes, there are. We were just talking about it today that I was telling about the good broccoli dish we had yesterday. And Peter, my youngest son, was home, and he said, we never had that at that time, so I don't know. You know, I mean, he never learned to like it, and that's true. We never heard of broccoli.
Did he like it today?
Yeah, yesterday? He liked it. And another thing, in the winter we never had any lettuce. We never had lettuce during the winter, or celery, or any of those
tomatoes,
things.
Tomatoes,
not.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an entirely different menu you can have now than what you had when we were growing up and when we raised our children. And especially in a small town, you never got those things. Maybe in a bigger town, you got lettuce during the winter, but we never did.
Well, now, you evidently didn't go grocery shopping then. Your husband
never
did all
have,
that.
And he still does it, for which I am very thankful.
That's an unusual.
Yeah. I've never gone grocery shopping unless I run into a store for something, you know, like that. But I've never taken a list and gone into the store.
Well, how have you seen the stores change now? Even the format of the where they put their produce and so on. How have that changed since the early 30s?
Well, you can imagine.
Store size and so on.
Imagine what a change it is for me. In a one-room store where they had everything, you know, groceries in one part, one by one counter and that. So, and then to come the way it is now where the huge shopping centers, a cart, and even in the old, before, they used to take our order. And then I used to shop then when they used to write down our order and then the grocery man picked it up and put it in a bag for us. And now...
Oh, you just gave them what you wanted, and they went and looked for them.
They told them, and they wrote it down on a paper, on a book. They had an order book. They don't have order books now, do they?
No.
I never thought of that. And they wrote it, and then you just waited while they went and put everything on the counter and then put it in a bag, and then you paid for it from the
same
person.
Did you ever have it delivered? Did they have a lot of deliveries, some grocery stores?
There were delivery services because my dad had a delivery service when he was working in the store, and he had horses. Horses pulled it. But I can't remember that we ever used it.
Were there a lot of bulk foods then, like
yes,
potatoes in a barrel and all that?
Rice and rice. Apricots. I can remember seeing bins of apricots and dried apples. I mean, dried apricots and dried apples.
So you would
like
help
that.
But you didn't help yourself. No, they
you
helped
didn't.
You.
They did it.
The clerks did
they
that.
They raised it. Well, now you see, you walk up and down the aisles and you don't know what to choose because there's such a variety. And all in such order, you know where to find the frozen foods and where to find the other.
Decision-making is more important.
That's
than
right. That's
you got
right.
You took what you could get at that
that's
time,
right.
I imagine. Huh? Did they have a lot of frozen foods at that time?
Not
30s?
Any frozen foods that I can remember. They never had a freezer to freeze them. The milk was the only thing that was in
the refrigerator.
A big refrigerator.
Well, then, how much of your own food, then, did you grow or produce?
We never did have a garden.
You never had a garden.
I remember when I was a child, my grandparents lived, we called it out in the country, but it's very much in town right now because it was only 5 blocks. It was only on 15th Street North. And they had a garden, and I remember we used to get potatoes and carrots and things from them during the summer. But after we got married, neither Lloyd nor I ever cared to have a garden, so we still bought all our commodities.
Well, how was the food kept fresh then? Did you have a refrigerator or a
nice
box?
Not when I was first married, I didn't have, but then I got an ice box, and the iceman came around so many times a week, and we kept our, it wasn't very large, so you know you could only keep your milk and your butter and your eggs in there. I really don't know how we kept them. Well, you put everything in the cellar, that's right. Not everything, but you did in the first house.
Well, now, did you have lettuce, some of the raw vegetables that would have to be refrigerated?
I guess
refrigerated?
We didn't, yeah.
Did you have as many?
I don't think
only
we
in the
bought.
Summer,
you never bought more than what you could use up. I mean, of course, I had a lettuce and that, but in the summer.
So you had to shop more often
That's right, more often. Mm-hmm. But then I did get a refrigerator while I still lived in Clearbrook, I think the last couple of years I was there, and that was a...
About what time was that now, back in
that
the
That was in
19,
the 40s. 1940. 40, about 40 when I got a refrigerator.
Mm-hmm. Did that seem like a luxury?
Oh, that surely was. I was about the only one in town that had one because they weren't that popular, you know. And we had taken ours. We'd come up to Moorhead to visit and carried it home with us in our car.
Well, now, what long-term storage did you have? For example, how did you keep your potatoes, or did you just buy some every...
Well, you always put them in your cellar.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a regular bin, an open bin?
Just put them down the cellar and kept them
And
there.
You didn't have a garden, so you didn't have to worry about keeping those vegetables.
No. We had a basement then. First places we lived in Clearbrook, we had a cellar, but then we moved into a bigger house that had a nice basement, no problem then to keep our... vegetables. I mean,
did you
potatoes.
Have one little corner with a closed door or something that would you kept cool?
Lloyd's folks lived on a farm, so we really didn't have to have many. I mean, we'd get when we were out of potatoes, they'd just bring us in some. They brought us the cream that we wanted, brought us the eggs. I guess that's why I don't know too much about storage. Because that's the way it was.
Was it common for people to buy the cream from the farmers rather than the store?
Yes, it was.
And that wasn't pasteurized then, was it?
Not pasteurized, but it was in a bottle. It was in a bottle, you know, I mean. But when I was a kid, we just got it in a pail. We'd go to our neighbors who had a cow, and we'd just get a pail full of milk. But in Clearbrook, we had...
And that wasn't pasteurized?
No, not pasteurized. 10 cents a quart.
10 cents a quart.
Quart delivered to the house.
Well, how has the time changed as far as the time to prepare foods changed? Can you see from the time when you had your children and now that they're all gone?
I certainly can, because by the time you had bathed the little ones in the morning and gotten the house straightened up, then you had to start dinner to get your dinner ready by 12 o'clock. Now you can come home from a meeting about 11:30 and you're all ready to sit down at 12 because of the food is so quick to prepare. I mean, everything can be ready for you and you don't spend nearly as much time preparing it.
So you use more convenience foods now.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
It's made quite a bit of difference. What was your source of water when you first started homemaking and now, has that been much different at all?
Yes. When I first started homemaking, we had a well. Lived in a small town, and we had a well and had to pump the water.
For everything?
For everything, yes.
No, well, did you have running taps in the
house?
No,
we just had a pail under the pump. We had the pump in the house.
Was that a summer house? They call it a summer house?
Yeah, like a summer house, but ours wasn't even because that had to be our kitchen, too.
Oh,
this little house, the first one we lived in. You took what you got when you know, in a small town, mm-hmm. they don't have a lot of houses for rent to choose from. You're just mm-hmm. lucky if someone moves and you can get anything. And it was so cold that if we left any water in the pail at night with the dipper in, you could lift up with the dipper and it'd still hold the pail in the morning. Every night the water froze in the winter because there was no basement under part of the house and... But then we didn't live there very long, and then we got running water. So I've always had running water, except those first year I was married.
Well, how did you know if that well was good water? Did they test it?
Not that I know of. Nobody ever got sick, so we just thought it was okay.
Just assumed it was okay.
Yeah. Everybody had a well, so we never thought anything of it, you know.
But when you came to Moorhead, of course, you had the running water then.
Yes, and I still did when I lived in Clearbrook, too.
Yeah. Well, let's take a look at your clothing and the table linens and so on. Did you purchase most of your... Now, when you were young, you didn't purchase
not
many
at all,
of your clothing.
No.
But now, after you got married, what did that change?
That changed because if I was going to have anything, I had to buy it. I never could sew anything and...
Was that kind of a hard thing to do? Did the clothes seem expensive then when you had to buy them?
Yeah, they did. I didn't want to pay that much for them after you're used to always having your clothes made and never even thought of how much they cost. But, of course, I got a little bit used to that when I went teaching first and saw. Then, of course, I had to buy clothes. And after I got married, then for all the children, we bought the clothes. We were real lucky. I had sisters that had girls a little bit older, and so... They used a lot of hand-me-downs.
Did you have a hard time getting fitted when you had to buy them ready-made? Now, when your mother was sewing, she would fit them to you, and they'd be just right for you. Did you find that a problem when you started buying your own?
No, not really. I mean, I guess I was just kind of easy to fit, or maybe I wasn't so particular. That maybe was it.
When you... purchased them, how did you do it? Did you use a catalog or did you go to the store?
Well,
or?
When we lived in Clearbrook, we sent for a lot of things, but we also came to Moorhead. That isn't so far, 150 miles or so, and then we do our shopping. I mean, and the kids got a lot of clothes for gifts, you know. So, but we did use a catalog.
What catalog was popular at that time?
Montgomery Ward. Mm-hmm, that's what we used mostly.
So you had made-overs and hand-me-downs. Did you do that with your children? You had four boys and...
No, I had three boys and two girls.
Three boys and two girls.
Mm-hmm.
Then you could pass some of the clothes
on. Clothes on, uh-huh, they had.
Mm-hmm.
Clothing really wasn't a problem as I think of it, because we really did get a lot of real nice clothes. I mean, mm-hmm. the aunts and the uncles always gave them on their birthdays, gave them nice dresses. And our girls, I remember, had birthdays, both of them, in August. So I remember from the time, from very beginning, that we always went and shopped for school clothes in mm-hmm. August, and that mm-hmm. was their birthday present, and they were satisfied. That was just fine to get a couple new dresses and some sweaters. And so clothing really wasn't a problem.
Did they have many rummage sales at that time?
I can't ever remember a rummage sale until I moved back here, you know. And in a small town, at least, I never heard of any.
They probably just handed them down to neighbors and friends rather than sell them.
I think so, too. They just gave them. They never thought of making any money on them. And maybe they weren't worth anything, you know, after their children.
They wore them till they really were.
They did wear the clothes longer.
Now, did you have special clothes you kept for Sunday?
Oh, yes.
Their Sunday best, and then when they got home, they had to change them?
Change right away and get into their other clothes.
Mm-hmm.
That's always been when we were kids, and our own children did that, too. Even after coming home from school, if they were going to go outside and play, they'd take off if they had their... Because then they always wore dresses, the girls did, and get into something else.
How did you keep the clothes clean? Did you have a washing machine?
I've always had a washing machine.
Now, what kind did you have, a wringer type at
yeah,
first?
I had a wringer type. In fact, it was hard for me to get to the other because I never thought they would get so clean. I always thought so. I've only had a conventional, I think, about 5 years.
Well, now, what model, back there, what was a popular washing machine, the wringer type? Was the Maytag?
Maytag is what I did have.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they've been in for years.
That's right, and they, Maytag.
Well, then... what made you finally get a automatic?
Well, let's see now. Why did I? Oh, something happened to my good old faithful, and my children just wouldn't hear of it. They said, "You just got to get an automatic. You just got to." I couldn't believe that you could go down and put your clothes in and then go upstairs again. I wanted to be down there until they were ready to come out, and I had a hard time adjusting to an automatic. Not the running of it, but I mean getting used to it.
Well, before that then, how did you dry your clothes?
I hung them out all the
outside.
Time in the summer.
What about
and
winter?
In the winter, in fact, I used to have one of these racks and used to put them on there and then just stick them outside the door and freeze them and then take them in. I don't know what that did to them, but anyway, that's what we were supposed to do and that's the way I did it. But when I had a basement in my house, then I used to dry them on lines in the basement until I got a dryer.
So did you find then that you spent a lot less time after you got your electric
I did after
washer?
I got used to it, but mm-hmm. I still thought that you could, when you washed clothes all morning and you didn't just go and start anything else. So I got used to it, and now it is easy.
So you had, did you have a day then, like Monday was for baking and Tuesday was for something else, like that little nursery rhyme?
Yeah.
Did you have that
I really
type?
Didn't follow that, except that I always cleaned on Friday and baked on Saturday. But I can't remember always washing on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
But I tried to at the first of the week, but it wasn't religious for me to keep that schedule.
Did you think of wash day as a kind of a
Rush.
Blue day?
Yes.
Did the children seem to mind?
Well, they never liked to come home. I mean, they'd always be glad they could go right away after eating and get back again because...
You probably didn't have as much food baked.
That's right. And in the winter, I had to melt ice, put it in a boiler, and then boil the clothes. And so you can see why it was so hard to get used to a conventional or a real automatic.
I should think it would have been an easy thing to give up.
Yeah.
how has the ironing of clothes changed?
I've always liked to iron. That was one thing. Even when I was young, I just loved to iron men's white shirts and that. And so that was no problem with ironing. And then it came so you don't iron at all now except just a little bit, you know.
Does that make a difference on the clothes you buy? Like, for instance, if it doesn't have... cotton and polyester or permanent press, do you think twice about buying it?
Well, I don't know if I do or not, but I sure noticed the difference. Now I got some material, and someone made up some aprons for me that came from the material came from the East, Indonesia. And I was so surprised when I washed them and thought they would just look nice, you know, afterwards, and I have to iron them. So it does make a difference in the material.
And now, if you were to go and buy that again, would you choose that or would you
I
avoid it?
I certainly would. I'd choose the with the polyester or, you know, the, and especially in tablecloths and that. Mm-hmm. What a change there. We used to have those big white tablecloths. Took you half an hour to iron them or more.
Now, did you do a lot of mending then of the clothes of the children, like darning the socks?
Sorry to say, I never did. When we lived here, my mother always took care of it, and when she passed away, my aunt took all my darning and did for me.
So she'd come and help you out?
I'd send my boy with it. He'd take a big basket and go up there.
Pile them up and then send them over.
Pile them up and he'd go over there.
Well, you were lucky.
I was lucky. Nobody believed me, but I always said that I was allergic to a needle. I mean, I'd get pins and needles in my fingers, and I really believe that I did when I'd take up a needle, so I didn't have to sew. To this day, I don't sew.
Have you noticed a difference in the acceptable clothes that people wear to church now? Did you said you always dressed up. Now, do you see a difference today?
They come with almost anything. Sometimes I feel embarrassed if I went up to communion with washed out pants like some of the girls even wear, and on their feet the shoes they wear. Our children always dressed up for church. And always, even now when I visit them, they're very conscientious about being well-dressed when they go to church.
Why does it bother you, do you think? Is that a sort of reverence or respect? Or what did you...
I still can't go to church in slacks. In the church part, I can go out there to anything else, but I don't know. I know it isn't wrong. It isn't wrong for anybody else to do it, but I can't do it.
So that's part of your whole background.
That's my background.
Mm-hmm. How do you think the amount of time spent in housekeeping has changed? Did you used to house clean twice a year?
When we were being brought up, then house cleaning was a big chore. The rugs came out. We had to beat them after school. We'd have to go out and beat the rugs, and everything went out twice a year. But after I got married, I really did do better cleaning or more thorough cleaning all the time after I got married, but not on a yearly basis like that. I mean, every week I cleaned real good. But I suppose it was because I had so much time, I had to do something. Because I remember I used to go over the whole house every week, real thorough. But as the children came in that, I got more slacker in it. And
well, did you give each child a job? For instance, they each cleaned their own room and that sort of thing?
They've always taken care of their beds and that. Mm. And I remember when the girls were in high school and even in college, we've always lived close to the places, so it was no problem, and they've always had their Saturday chores. One had the kitchen and the stairways to clean and like that. So they've always been good to help all of them, even the boys.
What was the job you hated to do the most? And house cleaning.
Well, I hate to dust. That's one thing I hated.
Do you still have
I still mind put it off as long as I can. I don't know why, but I still do, even if I have end dust and everything else.
Well, we talked about a little bit on what you considered weekly chores or monthly chores and so on. Did you have something like baking? Was that a weekly chore?
Always on Saturdays, and I still do. Mm-hmm. Even though I haven't anybody to eat at all, I still bake on Saturday and find somebody to give it to. It's just right in me. I just got it. It isn't Saturday unless I bake.
Well, do you feel like you've wasted your day then if you don't?
If I don't, yeah. There's nothing to do.
Were there any special daily chores you always did? Did they always make their beds and the dishes? And
the children, I think, always. I can't remember that I had to go and bake to make their beds.
Now, you lived through the Depression of the 30s.
That's right.
What were some of the problems that you remember about the 30s and the Depression?
Well, there was a lack of money. Was it in the Depression that we had stamps? No, that was in war, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
In the Depression. I don't think that we suffered too much ourselves because we never had so much in the first place, that we didn't miss anything. There was a shortage of...
There was a shortage of food.
Food, yes.
Sometimes.
But there wasn't much to spend, but everybody else was in the same boat, so really never noticed it so much. I saw a lot of people that really were hurting.
Mm-hmm.
But really,
if everybody is in the same boat pretty much, it's a lot easier, isn't it?
It's easier, yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, then you were talking about stamps. What are some of the homemaking problems that we had during the World War II that you remember?
Well, we had rationing, you know, stamps. Had to have stamps for gas. And we were lucky, I would say, because we didn't do much driving, so it didn't bother us there. But five children, and Lloyd and I, and everybody got a ration book. So we had more stamps than what we could use. We were helping everybody else with it, and especially in sugar. Sugar was so scarce, you remember that? And coffee.
Coffee.
But we never had to suffer with rationing. Prices were high, but...
Well, clothing then. Do you remember anything about rationing and clothing?
Well, silk stockings.
What about stockings?
That's right.
Yeah.
Stand in line to get stockings, but I guess that wasn't too big a problem with me, because...
Did you mind doing that? Did you remember standing in line even to go to the shows?
Oh, yes. I remember standing in line there. But I can't remember standing in long lines like some did for stockings and that, but I imagine, no, I really can't remember ever standing really in a line to get a pair of socks.
So the World War II didn't seem to change a lot in your lifestyle.
No, and we didn't have any of our immediate family that went into the war, so we weren't that close to it.
Your children weren't that age.
They weren't
then.
Old enough then, and mm-hmm. husband was too old.
Well, did you go down and help
roll bandages
at the church?
I did that.
And ever write letters to boys overseas or send packages?
Sent packages we did, but I don't remember writing letters.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about floods? Did we have
I've never been in a flood area. Yeah. When I was a child, we lived on now it would be a block about from the Red River. We lived on the north side, but it's all been filled in now, so it couldn't. There was a big ravine there that went down the river. And the river sometimes would come up on that ravine quite a ways, but never flood mm-hmm. stage.
So that was never one of
never
your problems.
Never one of our problems.
Now, did you have a telephone back there? What about your first home? Did you have...
When I was married?
Yeah, no, when you were a young girl, did you have a telephone?
No, we never had a phone.
Not in the country? You had one of those crank styles?
No, we didn't, but we lived across the street from people who had a telephone, and their telephone was in the hall, and in the summer we could always hear it ring. Oh, we used to think that was fun. And then if anybody wanted us, they'd call, we'd run over there and answer it. I don't remember how old we were when we got a telephone, but it sure was wonderful.
But you still had one when you were still at home.
That was when we were still at home.
And then you've always had a telephone
ever since
you've been married.
We never had a crank one, but Lloyd's folks lived on the farm, so I'm familiar with a cranked one, where they had about 15, mm-hmm. 20 people on the line. And
well, what other technological developments do you think has affected the role of the homemaker? Some of the electric appliances now?
Electric appliances certainly have made it easier for the homemaker.
Do you have one especially that you wouldn't want to be without?
I don't think I could get it along without my beaters.
Your electric mixer.
Mm-hmm. And the toaster. I'd hate to get along without a toaster.
How did you toast? Did you do that in the oven? How did you do that before?
No, we had one of those that you put the slices in and hold it over the stove.
Oh, the stove.
Yeah, we had one of those.
Yeah.
But there's others, too. I mean, it's even nice to have the... I don't have a dishwasher, but it's nice to have a bread knife, electric knife, and can opener. All of them are helpful. We could live without them, I'm sure, but...
Do you still mix up your own bread then? See,
always.
We have the bread.
No, I don't use that dough. I make bread.
Dough mixer.
Every week, uh-huh.
What about transportation? Did you always, your family always have a car?
We never had a car as long as we were
How did
kids.
You get around then?
Well, we walked. We walked to church. We walked every place we went. Of course, Moorhead wasn't so big then. We lived on the north side in about the 4th Avenue. And church, our church, the thing we went to all the time, was on 2nd Avenue and 6th Street South. So it wasn't even a mile. We always walked from the time we were small. And when we went on a lot of picnics and that when we were small. And our mother and dad used to take us. We walked over to Island Park. You know where Island Park is?
Mm-hmm.
We always walked. Never thought of anything else but walking. We had an uncle that had a car, so if we ever went out of town, we rode with them. They had a big car.
Now, what about
After we were
the
married,
heating
we had
systems.
A car.
Now, did you have a coal furnace?
We had a coal stove.
You had a coal stove?
In our living room.
And that
with
was that the heater,
glass.
Too?
That's, yeah.
Oh, that was the heater and the
heater.
Baker? And,
well, it didn't bake.
No, it was
but
just
I mean,
the heater.
Great, big, beautiful one, all nickel-plated and that. And with a what'd you call it, on top so that the heat would go up into a register up above it. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, when we enlarged our house, of course, we got a furnace right away.
Did that seem to take more time? You had to stoke it or put the coal in?
My dad took care of it all the time. But there was work with a... Because mm-hmm. you have to empty the ashes and you have to bring in the coal and keep water
on it.
So
that would
be
part of your daily chores.
That would be daily chores. But after I was married, we always had a furnace. Now we have water, hot water heat, so it's very comfortable.
Well, now we're kind of coming to the end of this, and can you look back and think about some of your frustrations as a homemaker? For there are things that you would think, well, why in the world don't they invent this and thus and so to make it easier? Do you remember any frustrations particularly?
I must have been pretty easygoing or something because I can't remember frustrations. Let me see. Maybe frustrated when I wanted to go someplace and didn't have someone who could take care of the children or that, and I had to forego something. That maybe was a frustration. Because it isn't easy always in a small town to get somebody to come in.
What did you use to pay the babysitter at that time?
Never over a quarter.
An hour.
Oh, not an hour. Just a quarter to come.
For the
we
whole
never
time.
Were gone. Yeah, we never was days. It was just to come while I went to Ladies' Aid or maybe we'd go. No, we never had anybody come in the evening. We were, as I said, lucky because Lloyd's folks could come in and stay with the children if necessary. But we had girls take care of the children a lot. But a quarter, that's all I ever got.
That was a lot.
When I think of it now, I shudder.
All right, now what about women? Were there some of the mothers who worked outside of the home at that time?
Very few.
What did they think about them, if they did?
Well, I think if it was necessary, it was okay, but anybody who was just working outside the home to earn money, it wouldn't be necessary. I thought it was more important to be a homemaker, I mean, to take care of your children and that.
So they sort of took a critical view in a way.
I think so. I think we did. Different thing if it was necessary, if there was a widow or something like that had to.
No, you never had to. In
never
your
had
family.
To. No, not any of our family ever had to work.
What was your impression of such women as Eleanor Roosevelt and Amelia Earhart?
Never thought much about them. I thought what they did was they accomplished. I admired Eleanor Roosevelt and also Amelia Earhart for her bravery in that, but never gave it much thought about being the first woman to do this or that. I mean, I can't believe that I did.
You didn't have any desire to go out
no,
and try doing
I
what
didn't.
They did.
No, I certainly didn't.
And a lot of the wives probably never thought about it that way either.
I don't think so. We were content.
Mm-hmm.
We must not have been, our aspirations weren't very high.
In what way do you think the radio and TV and the movies have impacted on our roles as homemakers?
I think it's made a great impact.
In what ways?
Well, there isn't that togetherness in the family. I mean, before we talked to each other, you know, and we were closer together, it seems like. Now there's so many good programs that each one wants to listen to that you don't have time to sit and listen to somebody talking. And another thing, if you get company, that TV is going and some of them don't care to turn off the TV. You can't visit with anyone with a TV growing. And some of the programs aren't what you want your children to watch. I'm just glad my children are old enough and away from home so I don't have that problem. But I would think it would be real hard for young mothers to try and regulate the programs that their children are going to see, because it seems like no matter what you turn on, if nothing else, there's something in the commercial that's suggestive.
So you're saying there's less communications then?
That's what I believe.
They're watching something else rather than taking active part in games. You said that
games,
you're playing
and
games,
right,
and things, and now you watch instead of play.
When I think of all
together,
the things we talked about when our children were home, you know, to each other and that, and now you see little children sitting in front of a TV for hours. They aren't talking at all to their parents or to anyone mm-hmm. else.
Do you think the children came home from school and shared with their parents some of the happenings?
Well, I think they did more than now. Well, I don't know mm-hmm. about now because I don't have any, but our kids always came home with something to say about something that had happened or that.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you had it to do over again, what would you change?
I wonder what I'd change.
Would there be some things you wish you had back there?
I'm sure of that. I would wish I'd had a little more money. I could have done a little better, I think. And I think I wish I had been more, especially when I was teaching school. I thought I had to go by what I'd learned at college and go by the book so.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had talked more instead of trying to say what the book said. I would just love to. I don't want to go back to teaching now. I'm too old for that. But if I had the chance to teach those years over again, it would be entirely different.
Mm-hmm. You'd be more spontaneous
More spontaneous. That's right. I don't know why I thought I had to do it just the way mm-hmm. the book said, you know, and try and remember the words of the book when I could have talked it just as well myself.
Well, do you think there was more conformity? People wanted to do the right thing?
I think that.
Quotations?
That's it. Quote. I think so. Because now, or maybe it's just because we're older. Maybe the young feel the same way as we did then, but I don't know. But when I'm older now, I don't want to remember everything that I say is in a book. I want to say what I think myself.
Mm-hmm. More freedom of
more
choice.
More freedom of choice. And
mm-hmm. What would you wish for your granddaughters then? Now, do you have granddaughters
mm-hmm.
now? What would you wish for them as homemakers now when they...
Well, I wish, first of all, that when they marry somebody that's faithful and somebody that they love and that loves them, and that it's a marriage that lasts. That's what mm-hmm. I hope, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that they have a family and they can bring them up to be lovely children. And I hope that they all stay true to the religion that they have been brought up in. I mean, are faithful to their religion, to their...
Then you think it's harder in today's world now than to... on families, the pressures from outside to remain together and...
I do. I think that because you see it all the time that...
Mm-hmm.
And especially with... Leaving the church, but I mean being not so conscientious about attending church in that for a few years, you know, children after they get confirmed and get out on their own don't seem to have any responsibility towards the church, and I would like my, so far they all have, and I'm just hoping that they will continue.
Mm-hmm. Well, Gladys, this has been a very interesting discussion, and I do thank you for coming today and sharing a part of your life with us.
Well, I'm glad that you'd take the time to ask me.
Thank you again, Gladys.
You're welcome.